We know that building wealth comes from owning businesses and making investments. Yet why still do nearly half of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and why do others lose it all in their investments?
Welcome to the Wealth Watchers Podcast, your resource for building a massive net worth. We bring real stories from real people who are experts in business and investing, who will share secrets and actionable strategies to amassing wealth and achieving success. Brought to you by Happy Camper Capital. And now, your hosts, Justin Hoggett and Adam Lendy.
Welcome back to the Wealth Watchers Podcast. My name is Adam Lendy, and with me is Justin Hoggett. How are you doing today, Justin?
Hey, Adam, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing well also. So, Justin, you know, this is something that I think is important for us to bring to our listeners today, especially those in our Wealth Watchers community, and that's goal setting.
Yeah, goal setting is so important. You know, I started at such a young age. I feel like maybe more or less a natural at it. I didn't have trouble setting it early, and I've certainly appreciated the results from it and surprised some people along the way. So I know it's a powerful thing. And I think what we have to share today will be important for some of our listeners and hopefully provide that service to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, Justin, interesting thing about goals, and I think maybe a lot of people, when they're looking at goal setting and goal planning, they don't always consider that, you know, maybe they thought they've set goals in the past, but what they've really been doing is just dreaming. You know, because a goal without a plan is just that. It's just a dream.
That's a good point. You got to check your results. Have you actually done anything to both get there and on your achievements, right? Like, but you know, like one of the first steps is also mentioning, like getting it out there to the world, telling people that, you know, you do have a goal. I think that's probably one of the first steps, would you say?
Well, what you're doing is you're implementing accountability.
Yeah.
And some people might not even know they're doing it, but you know, you tell somebody else and now you don't want to go back to them and let them know that you didn't achieve your goal. That's only going to push you to do it.
It's so much harder to tell someone that you didn't achieve it. And that's okay too, right? But just telling people, telling your wife, telling your family, telling your friends, I think, yeah, it's important to at least share where you're hoping to get to and want to get to. And like you said, the accountability, if you've got people around you that can say, hey, how are you on that? Check in with you. You know, they can monitor, you know, like one of my goals, for example, is to do a bike ride, a century ride, which is 100 kilometers. And I haven't done one before. You know, how am I going to just get on the bike and do that one day? I mean, I probably could, but I'd hurt. I'm certain of it for like 3 weeks later, but you know, how can you monitor that? You could take rides, 5 times a week, that's going to help you get there. So people can see that.
Well, Justin, if you don't mind, when we jump into this here in a minute, how about we use your goal to do a century ride kind of to demonstrate goal setting for our listeners?
Okay, that could be a good example.
Great. I just kind of want to share a little background first on kind of my journey into goal setting and then, of course, kind of how I got to where I am today and why I believe so strongly in it, especially for our Wealth Watchers listeners. So you know, for me, my first real experience in true goal setting with actually with purpose was when I read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. You know, I was, mid-20s at the time when I read it, and it was an eye-opener for me. You know, he talked in there about setting 18-month goals. That was kind of his long-term goal, was an 18-month goal. And he asked you to write the goals down. I'd never written a goal down in my life. I had achieved some things, I think, just by sheer luck and maybe just some amount of perseverance. But, you know, when I started writing goals down, that alone was the first level of self-accountability I ever had toward achieving those goals. And I remember the first 18-month goal I wrote for myself was to start paragliding.
All right.
You know, and of course, that's how you and I met. So obviously, it was definitely a success. You know, and his book is a great primer to get started. I think for anybody who's never set a goal before, it's a good place to start. But, you know, for me, the next level was when I read The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan, which I know Emily talked about a couple episodes ago. Fantastic book on taking your goals and really getting scientific about how we achieve them. You know, and I know you've heard me talk about it before too, of course, kind of the goal setting to the now, the reverse engineering process of the goals. And then of course, really creating that plan so that that goal is not a dream.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and to your point about writing them down, I don't know how often I admit this, but you know, I was kind of that, I would say, nerd or dork or whatever in high school. My dad found the importance of a calendar and goal setting and bought me one of those binders. You know, this is before digital age. You know, we didn't have phones and tablets and all this good stuff. So I carried around this binder of a calendar, and in there was goal setting. So yeah, I started that in high school and held myself accountable, and everyone saw that I was doing that too.
Well, you know, we found that school doesn't necessarily prepare you with financial education, and I've also found that it doesn't prepare you with goal setting. So this is going to be a 100 level class today for the listener who wants to get into goal setting. Maybe they haven't done it before and they're doing it for the first time. And just kind of walk you through the system that I use and that I've used with coaching clients in the past to really take those big goals, maybe think a little bigger than you thought in the past, because we are prone to limiting beliefs. And then, of course, make them attainable and come up with a plan of action.
Yeah, set the bar high. So what's our first step?
Well, the first step, of course, is to look at your why. You know, really look at what you're driving toward. Because, you know, you might have a goal to do a 100-kilometer century ride, but is that your higher purpose? I mean, is that's not the end game, right? That's maybe one piece of a larger puzzle, right?
Yeah, of course we have different topics, right? We have business goals, financial goals, relationship goals. And so this one in particular would be an activity or recreational goal.
Right. So exactly all those different areas of your life, because we are whole people, we're more than just our business and our health goals and those things. They're all driving toward a higher purpose, right? So what is that thing we're looking to achieve that's driving us in that direction? And then, of course, we're going to set, as you said, Justin, those goals within it, be that a financial goal, a business goal, a health goal, whatever that is. In the one thing, which I mentioned before, of course, they talk about the seven circles in there. Those are the seven areas of your life, which include your key relationships, your physical health, your financial health, your personal life, business, job, et cetera. So you pick the area, of course, you're going to set the goal in. And of course, there's a system to that. But the idea being that we're going to set a big goal. We're going to set something that's so big, it's almost frightening. Right. Because, you know, we want to think big. This is not, you know, we're not limiting ourselves. We want to think as big as we can. And then we're going to use an economic model to break that down. So, Justin, do you mind if we get personal?
Well, we'll see. Let's go.
Okay. Well, so that century ride you're looking to do, what area of life would you say that most applies to?
Well, kind of like what I said, recreational, I think that's an important area of my life, is making sure I have fun, stay fit, get around and see the country. In this instance, there's a few different options for me, but, you know, they're different areas of the state. They take me on what might be considered a vacation in a sense, you know, seeing a different area. Why would I just like the feeling of completing something that not everyone else does too. I think that's also kind of fun.
Got it. So if you were to look long-term in that area of your life, that kind of recreational personal area, what would be the biggest goal you could think of that you'd want to achieve?
Would that be like this bike race? What do you explain what you mean?
Though? Sure. Sure. So obviously this 100-kilometer race, you could do this year potentially.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
What's even bigger than that?
Okay, so sticking with the bike ride would be, and I can't remember the name. Maybe you could help me out. But the Colorado bike ride that's over multiple passes. I mean, it's through like a quarter of the state, or you know, it's pretty extreme. In fact, that's what Melissa kind of started with. She was like, "I'm going to do it," and we went to the bike shop, and they say, "No, you're not. You're crazy. Like you don't just like hop on a bike and do it." So I would say that's a pretty extreme one.
Okay. Got it. So, you know, that, would you say that's probably more than a year out?
Yeah, I would want to do a couple, at least century rides, and make sure that I would set goals to make sure I'm on the bike at least 4 or 5 times a week at, you know, 20, 30 miles a pop. So making sure I'm nice and fit no matter what. Of course, setting aside time aside for it.
one thing I want to jump into is you, I can tell that you're already a goal achiever just because of the way you mentioned it. You know, I want to complete a couple of centuries. I want to do this many, you know, miles per week, you know, so you've already kind of worked on a plan, and that's something we're going to get to. But if we're looking at this, that of course you've got this long-term goal to do this ride, which we don't know the name of, but we're going to call this the million kilometer, you know, hilly bike race. So if that's your someday goal, something that's going to take you quite some time to get ready for, you know, what we're going to do is, of course, we're going to look at a shorter term than that, right? Something that we can scientifically break down and say, if we're going to do a million kilometers, you know, someday, you know, where do we need to be in the next 5 years? You know, maybe that's, and of course I know it's not a million, but maybe that's 10,000, right? I don't know. But the idea being that we're going to chunk it down, knowing that that's going to get us that much closer. Now, in your case, we talked about, of course, that 100 kilometer being attainable this year. Is that a plan this year?
But absolutely. Yep.
Perfect. At least are you going to do it?
Yeah. The one that I know I'm focused on, of course, COVID has been an issue. I was going to do one or three last year, but it didn't happen. They're all canceled. So this year, I think probably I'll stick to one, and that'll be in September.
September. Okay. So September is 5 months away. And if we're going to do a 100-kilometer race in September, what we're going to do is we'll call that kind of – that's within the bounds of our one-year goal. So where would you need to be in the next month to be on track to do a 100-kilometer race 5 months from now?
I think that's probably hard to quantify, but I would say at least on my bike 2 times a week, which right now I'm lucky. I mean, it's been winter, it's snowing and whatever, but – I'll say 2 times a week for the next month.
Okay. But let's do this at the 1 month level here. I'm going to stick on this for a second.
Okay.
What would be a benchmark if at the same time next month you were looking at it and said, yep, I'm on track to do a 100K ride. Would it be a length of ride? Would it be a certain average speed? What would be the metric that lets you know you're on track to do that race?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a data guy. You know that. I love looking at numbers. So I ride with my bike computer, and I look down at that thing regularly, and I'm like, how fast am I going? What's my average? So, you know, it's hard to recall exactly what the number is. But I do know that if I'm over 16.5 miles an hour along about a 15-mile bike ride, that's pretty good for me around some of the hilly parts that I ride. So, I'd say as long as I'm doing those 15-mile rides around that average, then I'm feeling pretty good. And a lot of this goes into the feeling of it, right? So how exhausted am I after the bike ride? Okay. And I'll mention too, while we're talking about this, I did just look it up, and it's a 6-day, 400-mile ride the Rockies, which I'm sure you've heard of. And it's a triple bypass, meaning over 3 passes. So pretty extreme ride.
It is. Yeah, I've heard of Ride the Rockies. Okay, so not quite a million kilometers.
No, but that sounds pretty good too.
Right.
It might feel like okay. It.
So you definitely, you kind of got a step ahead of me a second ago, but obviously you just pointed out that if a month from now, your average speed on a 15-mile ride was 16.5 miles an hour, that would put you on course to be ready for that race in September.
That more or less, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, well, let's just look even simpler than that. Where do you need to be in the next week?
Next week.
In the next week, yeah.
I'll say to have ridden 3 dozen miles.
3 dozen miles. So 36 miles ridden in 1 week. Perfect. So if that's the case, you know, we can break this down even smaller. We could say, what do you need to do in the next day? What do you need to do today?
Yeah. So I guess my thought behind that would be 3 rides at a 12-mile ride. And I have a pretty good loop for about 12 miles. So thinking about that would be, getting out this weekend, getting at least one. So today, not such good weather, but it's coming this weekend. Definitely get on the bike.
Perfect. So the point of this being, of course, if we look at this big ride, this Ride the Rockies, you know, ridiculous triple bypass, 400-mile, 6-day race, that alone right now looks frightening. You know,
yeah.
But if we break that down to this century ride in September, And we break it down to maintaining the right speed in the next month. And of course, just doing these little these little 12-mile rides 3 times a week, you know, that doesn't look so bad when we just, you know, when we know the little components of it.
Right. It's not as scary.
Exactly. Yep. So that's kind of the idea we call goal setting to the now. Now we use that for a personal example. So why all that to say that, of course, I mentioned this was going to be for our Wealth Watchers listeners. So those who are actively involved in our community, who are tracking their net worth and are looking to grow it, obviously know that the ways we discuss building your net worth are to increase assets and reduce liabilities, right? And we can build goals around both, and we can run them both simultaneously. So investing in more things to increase your assets, and of course, also coming up with a plan to eliminate those liabilities and debts. So Justin, let's take a look at this, because this is a lot easier to break down scientifically than, say, maybe training for a bike ride. What would be a net worth goal that you think a listener of ours, you know, who's maybe part of our community would have?
Yeah. I think it just goes with the proverbial $1 million, right? Like, I want to be a millionaire. So I think that's a step for a lot of people. I mean, it was for me too. And, of course, with inflation and everything else, you know, $1 million is a lot different than when the term was coined a while ago, where you're a millionaire, you know, 30 years ago. That money is a lot different than today, obviously, but I think it still holds true.
It's still a benchmark.
Yeah.
Of course, it's an important benchmark, so you can be accredited. That's what we care about.
Right. That's Absolutely. Good. So,
okay. So if somebody wants to be a millionaire, and that's their goal, it's a someday goal. And you know, just starting off, it's not uncommon for people to have net worths that are far, far from that. You know, the net worth of the average renter, somebody who doesn't own a home, is less than $10,000, right? It's actually less than $5,000. So for some people, that might seem a long ways off. And, you know, if we focus on that $1 million, gosh, it might be hard to get started. It might just seem too far out of reach. So what we need to do, of course, is look at, you know, what's the time frame going to look like to achieve that? Because I'll tell you this, you could make that $1 million happen in any time frame. It's just whether you're willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
So let's say we've got somebody who is just getting started in this. Of course, they've got high debts, you know, they've got maybe low assets, which is a pretty common picture for a lot of people in America right now. And they want to hit that $1 million mark. And maybe that's a 5-year goal for them to have $1 million net worth. That's awesome.
Sure.
Right.
Totally attainable too.
Yeah. So Justin, let me ask you this. Do you think, and you can speak from experience on this, is that going to be something, since we're looking at 1 million in 5 years, that they'd need to add $200,000 to their net worth each year? Or is this something that will accelerate?
I think you could look at it both ways, right? I mean, if you're comfortable with the $200,000, it's a goal. Now, the beauty of acceleration is if you do set it at $200,000 a year, you know, the acceleration is going to improve, and then you'll be like, how did I just get to five? Right. But I think setting, better benchmarks to account for that would be the way I would go. You know, first year, 200, second year, 400, and then, or whatever. Right. And let it, maybe first year 50, I guess I should say, to let it accelerate into the million, because it is hard to get started. And the same thing with how we evaluate parks and income, and, you know, increasing our gross income on those. You know, we can't account for the income on day one. We have to work into it. So working into it, $50,000 a year might be a good start.
Got it. Okay. So if we're looking at now that we've just broken this down, we've got a $50,000 net worth goal for the year. Well, that's a heck of a lot more attainable than a million already. And if we're counting on that accelerating as time goes on, we know so long as the same time a year from now, we have $50,000 in net worth, that we're going to be on track. So now all we got to do is look at the month. Well, I think when we're looking at just that 1 year picture, we can look at that in those small chunks, right?
Yeah.
So we can look at it and say, we need to make, what does that end up being? 4,000 and change?
Per month. Yeah.
Right.
Is everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, round that up and say that we need to make 5,000, and that'll put us a little over the top, $5,000 a month, you know, in net worth. Okay. Well, how are we going to do that? You know, what's our benchmark need to be for the week? So it would be simple enough to divide that by 4 weeks in a month and say that we need to add 1250 to our net worth each week, right? On average. Okay. So now we just need to build some strategies around that. So we're going to do that between debt elimination, between removing those liabilities and increasing our assets. So now we can build a plan. So we've got the goal in place. We've broken the goal down. We know so long as we're adding about roughly, you know, $5,000 or less than that, really, to our net worth each month, we're on track. So we're going to build a business plan around this, you know, something to increase that worth. So that's where we're going to need to be aware. And that's why having that net worth tracker that you can get from our website, happycampercapital.com/net worth, you know, you can bring that awareness to it, check in on this regularly and know the areas that need improvement. You're going to be aware because you're constantly going to be updating those credit card balances, those, you know, any of those revolving debts, you know, any of those student loan payments, whatever you've got. And also seeing what your assets are doing for you, seeing which ones are performing better than others, which areas are going up, you know, faster than others, and really increasing those investments. So what we need to do is make a plan now. So Justin, what do you think are the best strategies somebody just starting off could look at to implement?
Probably their expenses. I think those are immediately accessible. You can look at your historicals. You can see what's important, what's not, what you're spending your money on that can go away. You know, and with what are your highest expenses? Right. So how can you cut those down? You know, some of them are going to be absolutely necessary, but what can you get rid of first that would make the biggest impact?
Right. And, you know, we just discussed this on a previous episode with Christina Martinez, of course, about the highlighter technique, you know, going through, you know, all of your monthly revolvings and figuring out what needs to be there, what doesn't need to be there, what you can get rid of. Because every dollar you don't spend on something discretionary, you can invest in something else.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have that mindset. Do you really need this? And I've taken that approach in the past. And, you know, every dollar that you spend can't be invested or saved, which to some savings is important. But it's savings is kind of a standstill approach. So you still need to be investing that somehow. And every dollar that goes out the door isn't available. So you need to make sure you're hanging on to the best amount of chunk you can.
Yeah. And to your last point, I mean, if your money that you're saving, you know, aside from your emergency fund, isn't earning at least 3%, it's losing value. So it's got to be put to work in something, you know, higher performing than that. We're maybe getting a little tangential on this here because we like talking about money and it's easy for us to do that. But the point being that we've got to build a plan around this. You know, a tool that I've used in the past with great success is what we call a GPS, and it just stands for goal, priorities, and strategies. So if, of course, our goal is to increase our net worth by $5,000 a month, we're going to look at the priorities to get there. So, you know, typically we look at three priorities, and in this case, one of those could be, of course, to curb our spending. The other is going to be to reduce our debts. And then the third is going to be to, of course, increase our assets. So, you know, we talked about strategies for, you know, maybe curbing that spending. But if, you know, if we're building out strategies under reducing those debts, we got to figure out which ones we want to pay down first. You know, and there are a couple schools of thought on this. You know, the most traditional, I think, is that we pay down the highest interest things first because those are the ones accruing the most interest first. Dave Ramsey has a theory on this, the debt elimination snowball, which I know some people use with success because it maybe tricks them into thinking they're paying things off quicker and it just helps them get excited about it.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, you know, if we're looking at increasing our assets, what are the investments we can make? And this is going to be a plan that once we get this done, we're going to implement this all the time. We're going to measure our performance and make sure we're on track because then we've already reverse engineered that goal. So we don't have to that $1 million net worth. We can put that out of our mind for now. We're going to get there. We just have to make $5,000 this month.
Yeah. And that chunk is so much more palpable, right?
Well, especially when we start investing in leveraged assets, like, you know, real estate, for example, you know, that net worth can go up a lot faster than $5,000 in a month.
Yeah. And I think it's important to also note that this is scalable. You know, we're talking about a $1 million net worth for someone that, you know, that can be just add a zero to that or two zeros or whatever. And it's all relatable. So that GPS, it doesn't have to be just super basic. I mean, we can go pretty deep with this.
Right. So, you know, I think where we really need to get this moving now, of course, so we've got the goal, we've got the plan. Now we need to put the plan into action because, you know, there are a lot of great plans that aren't being executed out there. And that comes down to the habits we build.
Love habits.
Yes. So Justin, you're somebody that I admire who is very great about executing and implementing habits. And of course, you know, one of yours was relative to, you know, your wealth building. So what habits would you say were most crucial for you to building your net worth?
You know, I've read some pretty interesting books along the way, and a lot of this goes to studying those who are very successful. You know, we should take the leadership of those who've become successful and what have they done. So my habits have been to wake up early, get a good day started with meditation, journaling, which can be goal setting, affirmations, visualization, and reading. And then to top it off, some exercise, get that heart going. And, which also helps your brain, you know, and get that day going strong. And it's like the world just comes to you.
Yeah. And having those routines is hugely helpful. And of course we are whole people. So, you know, we talked about those different categories for goals. We've always got to be supporting all of those. So that definitely helps with that. What would you say, any personal finance goals habits rather, that you built that helped you get to where you are?
Well, like what I mentioned earlier, just watching what you spend, you know, I did have the mindset that anything that I was, you know, charging on the credit card, it's so easy to charge on the credit card and watch what you're spending it on. And do you really need it? And this went all the way down to the grocery store, right? Like we go, oh, do I need that bag of chips? Well, not really. Like that's kind of a luxury food. Luxury item. So the less amount of luxury items that you've got, I feel like is the best. And it's weird how it works out, because if you start doing that, or I should say start cutting out the luxury items, you find that yes, you don't need them. And then it becomes a habit for life almost. Like you really end up saving not just the dollar today, but the, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars later, because it all adds up.
Absolutely does. So if we were looking to put this plan into action, of course, to spend less, to reduce our debt, to increase our assets, what are the habits that would be useful for somebody starting off? And, you know, obviously you mentioned the grocery store example. And of course, you know, and maybe not even just the grocery store, but watching all those things we charge, you know, how many people have bad Amazon habits? You know, I watch that truck drive up and down my street and it makes a lot of stops at a lot of the same houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, this is where we have to really, really look at those goals we're setting. And of course, you know, and look at what we need to do. And really, it starts with who we need to be to get there. So, you know, Justin, you mentioned, of course, having that early morning routine. And I think that's a crucial piece, just taking that time for ourselves, having that thinking time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And trust the process. You know, one of the things that I did was write a check to myself. I think probably the most famous instance is Jim Carrey. Before he got famous, he wrote a check to himself and put it on his mirror or something to that effect. And so I did that. I 6 years ago, I really started my path and increasing and put this check on my visualization board and just looked at that every morning, realized that's where I'm headed, right? Creating that path.
Absolutely. So, for our listeners, of course, who are just getting started on this journey, you know, the first place to start is going to be bringing awareness, you know, and that's why we feel so strongly about the net worth tracker. You know, that's something that we've given out to everybody who comes to our meetups. That's the whole purpose of our meetups, because we believe what you focus on expands. And of course that, you know, if you're looking at that all the time, it has nowhere to go but up, because you're going to be consciously aware of where you're putting your money and what you're doing with it. So of course that, like I mentioned, you can get on our website at happycampercapital.com/net worth. The second is going to be just hanging around the right people who share the same mindset as you. So, you know, that's why we created the Wealth Watchers community. And, you know, we actually have our meetup is starting in a new home this week. It's going to be at Factotum Brewing here in West Denver. So we're really excited to get back in front of people and in person again and, you know, just surround ourselves with people who are building wealth and creating those habits and setting those goals for themselves.
Absolutely. You're definitely looking forward to that. You know, we're growing that group. It's on meetup.com, which we were previously on Facebook, but meetups are our solution moving forward. And our group is growing fast, and we can't wait to meet with everyone this week for our first in-person since COVID started. So everyone come on.
Yep. So the very first step call to action is going to be get that net worth tracker, bring some awareness to it. The first time you do it, it's going to be, it's a new muscle. It's something you haven't done. You might have to figure out logins and passwords to all the different websites for your credit cards and your banks, because you are going to be in relationship with these things. So, you know, make sure you get to know those again. But once you get this thing built out, you know, Justin, I update mine each month. I spend about 10 minutes, 15 minutes doing it. Is that about how long it takes you?
Well, I suppose it depends on how granular you want to get with it. The more assets you have, the harder it is. So I would say I spend 5 to 10 minutes, but it's not 100% accurate.
Right. Well, and yeah, exactly. So some of the items on there are, you know, the furnishings in your house, and I don't appraise my furniture every month. I'll be the first to admit that. But I do look at my home value, and I look at the balance in my retirement accounts and, you know, where our bank accounts are sitting. So the big stuff that really has the most sway gets looked at the most often. So obviously we build that habit around that, and that's what the group's all about. So first step is going to be to get that net worth tracker, and then bring it and meet us in person. You know, we've said this before, nobody has to share their net worth. We do want to remove that stigma that, money is taboo and something you don't talk about. You know, we'll be the first to share ours, but we also understand that some people aren't there yet, and that's, everybody's welcome. So, the only thing we'd ask, of course, is that you maybe share a goal, and that could even be just a percentage goal that you want to increase your net worth by 10%, 50%, whatever it might be. And we'll just help us, you know, help us hold you accountable. That's the plan. If you aren't in Denver, still get involved with us. We have an online community on Facebook. You can look up Wealth Watchers Community. And we're open for questions on there. We're open for sharing success. And of course, again, for accountability.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, Justin, I guess, you know, like I said, we'll see everybody on Thursday. Anything else for you?
No. So that is at 6 o'clock on Thursday at Factotum. And please RSVP at meetup.com and let us know you're coming. Let's grow the group and network.
Absolutely. So again, we're going to be focused on net worth, but we're also going to be looking at personal goals too. Like we're going to be supporting Justin in his ultimate mission to do the Ride the Rockies. But of course, you know, maybe we'll start with that century ride here in September.
That's right. And anyone's welcome to join me.
Right on. Well, Justin, thanks for the conversation today. It's been fun.
Okay, absolutely, Adam. It's been a great episode.
All right. This has been another episode of Wealth Watchers Podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Wealth Watchers. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast player of choice. If you found value in this episode, please share it with one person you know who could benefit from these tools and strategies. For more information on Wealth Watchers, please visit happycampercapital.com.